to harshness, to trouble, to schism. Welcome back. This is Buddhist Books Podcast, episode 334, Tipitaka, part 214, and Chulavaga 4, spelled like Kulavaga, pronounced Chulavaga. Chulavaga 4, part 4. Oh, and I forgot to do this. This is Buddhist Books Podcast, episode 334, which, since that ends at a 4, notice the little Dharma wheel. It's a Ashoka period Dharma wheel carved out of stone, which here on Buddhist Books Podcast we use to refer to pre-sectarian early Buddhism, even though it being from the Ashoka period would more appropriately fit with Theravada. But there isn't a whole lot as far as iconography from pre-sectarian early Buddhism, so it's what we got. For Theravada, we got a picture of King Ashoka. Anyway. Okay. All right. These books here, if you're curious, just in case, for the one or two people at some point in the future would be like, well, have you read any Theravada on here? No. Yeah, I mean, yes and no. Because it's one of those things where, like, A, if there's a circle, a big circle A and a little circle B, right? And Theravada includes pre-sectarian early Buddhism, but pre-sectarian early Buddhism isn't necessarily Theravada. Does that make sense? Like, for example, just recently on Chicken Philosophy, our sister channel, we finished the Carl Jung's Black Book series. We read that in preparation to read The Serpent Power. See, because what happened was, I think it was 1927, Carl Jung read The Serpent Power, which is a translation of a particular, like, tantric Hindu scripture. And it was translated by a British guy, and then Carl Jung read it, and he gave a lecture to the first psychologists, where he summed it up in his own words in a way that he thought that his audience could understand. And that became the basis of the Western understanding of yoga, tantra, kundalini, and chakras. And so we're deconstructing that and seeing if we can, you know, glean any insights from following the trail that led to what in your local yoga studio, if you're living in a place like California or New York or London or Moscow or whatever, would pass for. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. What was my point? I had one. I really did. Yes, I remember what it was. Let's just play a short little clip that's sort of fun. According to Bhante Gunaratana, this number is reached by multiplying the senses of smell, touch, taste, hearing, sight, and consciousness. That's six. The original, the root, according to the ancient Buddhists, is the six senses. Right, so as you can see there, Gwydion, who looks a lot like me, but he's clearly not me. We just have the same face. Don't worry too much about all that. Anyway, he was under the impression that because there was a Pali-sounding name, perhaps, though it was a very common Sri Lankan name, I'm not sure, or if I really have no idea. But anyway, the gentleman who put forth that idea, not to say there's anything wrong with the idea because it came recently, it's just that generally speaking, on Buddhist Books Podcast and on Chicken Philosophy, we try to go for, you know, looking past the things that have been said or written down in the past 100 or 200 years, with the exception of Teilhard de Chardin and a few other things, and look look at the ancient, not because the ancient is better or has more authority necessarily, but because it is the root and origin of a lot of different things that have come since then. So we can start to recognize patterns of ideas by getting to know the ancient ideas, if that makes sense. I don't know. I'm probably talking too much. I did that last time. I apologize. It is now August 4th. I don't know exactly when that 333 came out, but it was probably a week and a half ago. So we've had a little bit of a break going through. Just a little bit of a rearranging of things in life right now. But I'm at a place where I can sit down here and speak to you and read to you for a little while. So I'm doing that, and I'm happy to be doing that. But yeah, so as in that example, I had thought that that was something ancient because it came from Theravada, but it was something very recent that came from Theravada, because Theravada is very much alive today and developing today. And if 100 years from now they develop a new practice, that practice will be new, much newer than Vajrayana practices from 1,300 years ago, and much newer than Mahayana practices from 2,000 years ago, and far newer than pre-sectarian early Buddhist practices from 2,600 years ago. All right, everybody's clicked away now. It's just me talking to myself and you. Hello, I see you. Some of the more diehard, loyal viewers are still here, but everyone else is gone because I talked too much. It happens. Right. So if you'd like to start at the beginning of Tipitaka, you can click right there. That's me like 4.5 years ago beginning this book here. And if you'd like to start at the beginning of Cholavaga, which is me only a year and a half, or I don't know how long ago that was. I think more than a year and a half ago. It's right there. That's Cholavaga. I think the wall behind me is pink, and we're in landscape orientation if you click through there. But times change. Okay, so we're picking up right where we left off last time. If you remember, there was the specific act of depravity, the formal act of specific depravity against the monk Uvala. And I thought that because as I was reading, I was pretty well convinced that Uvala had come around before, but it turned out he hadn't. But the situation and all the things he said and did had come about before, but in that previous time it said a certain monk. But this is where he's given a name, so he was given that that character, this. But we're not going to talk about him today, but we're picking up where we left off in the story about him. Are you ready? Let's do it. Now, at that time, while monks were striving, quarreling, disputing, much was perpetrated and spoken that was not worthy of a recluse. Then it occurred, I like that idea, not worthy of a recluse. It's not a phrase that I'd ever heard before reading these books. It's something Lord Buddha says. A recluse, someone who's reclusive, someone who's, you know, you think of a mad homeless person, you know, I mean, maybe you don't, but like, yeah, a recluse, a total, you know, maybe an artist or something, someone, a hermit, someone who's like walled in, they have paint all over their face and clothes and things scattered about hither and yon, and what? Oh, don't come inside. You know, it's like not very socially. But that's something very high, more, you know, more important than a king, perhaps. And for them to do these weird things like stand with their arms akimbo and make eye contact with the villagers when they're going out looking for alms is not worthy of a recluse. Sometimes I feel like I'm on the same page with Lord Buddha. I like those days. Other days I don't. Those days are sad. Continuing, then it occurred to these monks, quote, while we were striving, thank you, Polytech Society. Sometimes I forget we're reading a translation by the Polytech Society, and then they throw in the three dots just to remind me. So, yeah. Anyway, that's the Polytech Society. Thank you, Miss Horner. She's the specific translator of everything we've read so far in pre-sectarian early Buddhism. Continuing. If we should deal with one another for these offenses, it might even be that legal question, two that's, I didn't mess up, might even be that legal question would conduce to harshness, to trouble, to schism. For anyone who didn't go, oh, hey, take a moment, do yourself a favor, listen to this song with the lyrics. I think I'll find something that has the lyrics on the screen. If not, I'll have to make it, and then come back. Welcome back. Wasn't that quite moving? Pretty universal when it comes to like cults or religious institutions. I think you could apply it to anyway. Okay. So now that we have some charge on the word schism, for anybody who was like, schism? What is that word? And yeah. Grow up in a cult and then you'll have some personal rapport with the word schism. Continuing. Now, what line of conduct should be followed by us? And quote, they told this matter to the Lord. He said, quote, this is a case, monks, where while monks were striving, three dots, much was perpetrated and spoken that was not worthy of a recluse. Then it occurred to these monks, quote within quotes, while we were striving, three dots, it might even be that legal question would conduce to harshness, to trouble, to schism. And quote within quotes, I allow monks a legal question such as this to be settled by covering up as with grass. Let's keep reading. Sounds fishy to me, but okay. I mean, I kind of get it, but it seems like one of those that could be misused. You have a legal question, but it's making you guys fight. Let's just cover it up as with grass. We'll find out what that means more specifically. And thus, monks, should it be settled, one and all should gather together in the same place. Having gathered together, the order should be informed by an experienced, competent monk, saying, quote within quotes, honored sirs, let the order listen to me. While we were striving, three dots, randomly an open quote. So is that a quote within a quote within a quote? I don't know. The Polytech Society is being a little obtuse right now. Four dots. It might even be that this legal question would conduce to harshness, to trouble, to schism. End quote. Within quotes, within quotes. Got it. If it seems right to the order may settle this question by covering up parentheses as and parentheses with grass, unless it is a heavy sin. All right. Fair enough. And then there's a footnote under heavy sin, and it's not worth it. It's Tulavaja. Tulavaja. Okay. Unless it is connected with the laity, okay, where he reviles or despises householders by means of a low thing. Okay. If a monk is insulting a lay person, then you don't cover that up with grass. Got it? Okay, good. The one side, one's own side, saha pakha, okay? The one side should be informed by an experienced, competent monk from among the monks siding in with the one side, with the one and then in parentheses side. Quote within quotes, let the venerable ones listen to me. While we were striving, three dots, not worthy of a recluse, three dots, to schism. If it is pleasing to the venerable ones, I would confess whatever is the offense of the venerable ones, as well as whatever is my own offense, both for the sake of the venerable ones and for my own sake, unless it is a heavy sin, unless it is connected with the laity, parentheses, so as to obtain, and parentheses, a covering up, parentheses, as, and parentheses, with grass in the midst of the order. end quote within quotes. Afterwards, the other side should be informed by an experienced, competent monk from among the monks, siding with the other parentheses side and parentheses. Quote within quotes, let the venerable ones listen to me while we were striving, three dots, a covering up, parentheses as with, and parentheses grass, in the midst of the order, end quote within quotes. The order should be informed. Now, Buddha, Lord Buddha, still talking. The order should be informed by an experienced, competent monk siding with the one side, in parentheses, but I'm going to stop mentioning the parentheses because it's a little distracting. Quote within quotes, honored sirs, let the order listen to me. While we were striving, three dots, not worthy of a recluse, three dots, to schism. I hope you were paying attention because Polytech Society does not want to repeat themselves. If it seems right to the order, I would confess whatever is the offense of the venerable ones, as well as whatever is my own offense. It's since he's laying down a rule as to how to deal with a variety of situations, it makes sense to say whatever is the offense, but it just reminds me a little bit of Tartuffe confessing to whatever it is that he's accused of. Anyway, never mind. Okay. As well as whatever is my own offense, both for the sake of the venerable ones and for my own sake, unless it is a heavy sin, unless it is connected with the laity, so as to obtain a covering up as with grass in the midst of the order. This is the motion. Honored sirs, let the order listen to me. While we were striving, three dots, not worthy of a recluse, three dots, to schism. I am confessing whatever is the offense of these venerable ones and whatever is my own offense, three dots, unless it is a heavy sin. It's 1930s British, not 1630s British. My precious. Unless it is a heavy sin, unless it is connected to the laity so as to obtain a covering up as with grass in the midst of the order. If the confession of these offenses of ours, unless they are heavy sins, unless they are connected with the laity so as to obtain a covering up with grass in the midst of an order, is pleasing to the venerable ones, they should be silent. He to whom it is not pleasing should speak. These offenses of ours are confessed by me, except heavy sins, except those connected with the laity, so as to obtain a covering up as with grass in the midst of an order. It is pleasing to the order. Therefore, it is silent. Thus do I understand this. End quote within quotes. So that was the end of the quote of the learned, experienced monk that Lord Buddha was saying needs to direct these situations, because he doesn't just fix situations, he tells you how to fix it if he's not there, which is a really smart thing to do if you want your order to last longer than your lifetime. So now Lord Buddha's continuing to explain the process outside of what that guy says, right? Afterwards, the order should be informed by an experienced, competent monk from among the monks siding in with the other side. Quote within quotes, honored sirs, let the order listen to me while we were striving, three dots, thus do I understand this. He says all the same stuff, I assume. End quote within quotes. And thus, monks, do these offenses come to be removed from these monks, except for a heavy sin, except what is connected with the laity, except for those who make an open statement of their views, except for those who are not there. Yeah, if you're not there while this meeting is happening, then this doesn't count for you. You have to do it all again when you get back. Okay, end quote. Whew. Whew. All right, okay. Now at that time, monks disputed with monks and nuns disputed with monks, and the monk Channa, remember Channa, intruding into the nuns' quarters, disputed together with the monks, and was prejudiced on the side of the nuns. Good for you, Channa. Listen to nuns. Never mind. Those who were modest monks looked down upon, criticized, spread it about. In those days, modest means misogynist. It's pre-1973 definitions of things. Quote, how can this monk Channa, intruding into the nuns' quarters. Don't do that, Chana. That part was a little weird. Dispute together with monks and be prejudiced on the side of the nuns. I am also prejudiced on the side of the nuns, for the record. End quote. Then these monks told this matter to the Lord. He said, quote, "Is it true as is said, monks?" Three dots. It's always true that three dots. End quote. Quote, "It is true, Lord," end quote. Having rebuked them, having given reason to talk, he addressed the monks, saying, quote, "Monks, there are these four kinds of legal questions. Legal questions arising out of disputes. Legal questions arising out of censure. Legal questions arising out of offenses. Legal questions arising out of obligations. What is here a legal question arising out of disputes? This is a case, monks, where monks dispute, saying, quote within quotes, it is Dhamma, end quote within quotes, or quote within quotes, it is not Dhamma, end quote within quotes, or quote within quotes, it is discipline, end quote within quotes, or quote within quotes, it is not discipline. All right, so this is all in quotes. So I'm just going to say quote rather than quote than quotes, because there's a long list of these things. So when I say quote, until I clarify otherwise, it's understood that I mean quote within quotes. Okay. Or quote, it is spoken, uttered by the truth finder, end quote. Or quote, it is practiced by the truth finder, end quote. Or quote, it is not practiced by the truth finder, end quote. Or quote, it is laid down by the truth finder. That's Lord Buddha. He's one of his nicknames, end quote. Or quote, it is not laid down by the truth finder, end quote. Or quote, it is an offense, end quote. Or quote, it is not an offense, end quote. Or quote, it is a slight offense, end quote. Or quote, it is a serious offense, end quote. Or quote, it is an offense that can be done away with, end quote. Or quote, it is an offense that cannot be done away with, end quote. Or quote, it is a bad offense, end quote. Or quote, it is not a bad offense, end quote. Whatever here is strife, quarrel, contention, dispute, difference of opinion, other opinion, because the common appellation of heatedness is, quote, quarrel, quote within quotes, obviously, end quote. This is called a legal question arising from disputes. Continuing, we're still in quotes, Lord Buddha still talking. What is here a legal question arising from censure? In this case, monks, censure a monk for falling away from moral habit or from falling away from good habits or for falling away from right view or from falling away or for falling away from a right mode of livelihood. Whatever here is censure, fault finding, talking to, scolding, bickering, inciting, instigating, this is called a legal question arising from censure. What is here a legal question arising from offenses? Both the five classes of offenses yield legal questions arising from offenses, and the seven classes of offenses yield legal questions arising from offenses. At first I was thinking both, but there's five. No, he's saying both these five and those seven. Oh, all right. This is called a legal question arising from offenses. What is here a legal question arising from obligations? Whatever is in order's business and ought to be done by it. A formal act for which leave ought to be asked. A formal act at which a motion is put. A formal act at which a motion is put and followed by one resolution. A formal act at which a motion is put and followed by a resolution made three times. This is called a legal question arising from obligations. What is the source of a legal question arising from disputes? Six sources of dispute are the source of a legal question arising from disputes. There are three unskilled sources, which are the source of a legal unskilled sources. What? Which are the source of a legal question arising from disputes, as well as three skilled sources. Skilled sources. which are the source of legal questions arising from disputes? Which are the six sources of dispute? Which are the source of a legal question arising from disputes? In this case, a monk becomes angry and bears ill will. Monks, whatever monk becomes angry and bears ill will, he lives without deference, disrespectful toward the teacher, and he lives without deference. What? Yeah. Disrespectful toward Dhamma, and he lives without deference, disrespectful towards the order, and he does not complete the training. Monks, whatever monk lives without deference, disrespectful towards the teacher, Dhamma, and the order, and does not complete the training, he causes dispute in an order, and that dispute comes to be for the harm of the many folk, for the lack of ease of the many folk, for the lack of the goal for the many folk, for the harm and dissatisfaction of devas and mankind. If you, monks, should perceive a source of dispute like this among yourselves or among others, you, monks, should strive therein for the destruction of precisely that evil source of disputes. If you, monks, should perceive no source of dispute like this among yourselves or among others, you, monks, should therein follow a course to stop there being future effects of precisely that evil source of disputes. Thus, there comes to be destruction of that evil source of disputes. Thus, there comes to be no future effects of that evil source of disputes. Okay, how do you tell the difference between someone raising a legal question because they are possessed by the evil source of disputes? Are we Christian or what? No. And being generally disrespectful. And even if it is a monk that is generally disrespectful to the teacher or to the Dhamma or to the order, if they raise a good point that ought to be dealt with, do you hear what they're saying, consider what they're saying, and maybe even deal with the point? Or do you simply say, you, oh monk, are possessed by the evil source of disputes, which sounds like something a cult would say. I'm just saying. I mean, obviously this is a cult, so I mean that literally. Yeah. I mean, he's not Charles Manson. He's Lord Buddha, but never mind. Okay. There's good cults and bad cults. I mean, maybe, sure. Is there? I don't know. If there is, then this is one of the good ones. If there isn't, then this is a bad one, apparently. But it is a cult, one way or the other. I'm just saying, by the definition of the word. Not by the post, not by like the, if you're specifically talking about the, never mind. It's a group of people with a charismatic leader all doing weird things, isolating themselves from the rest of society. Obviously it's a cult, right? But it was normal back then. And then it blossomed into many mainstream religions, which some people differentiate from cults, but I don't. Okay, that's where we can agree to disagree. But originally it was definitely there. You can't disagree because it's a fact. All right, what are we talking about? Nothing. I'm just being silly and honest. Okay, wait. Yeah. The source of the evil source of disputes. Right. Yeah, I was relating to the monk that raises the issue because the leader is corrupt and horrible. And this isn't about that. Check out the Esoteric Nerd podcast if you want to hear about all that. If you've heard me make reference to my past and are a little curious about what the heck I'm talking about. Okay, and again, monks. A monk becomes harsh and unmerciful. He becomes envious and grudging. He becomes crafty and deceitful. He comes to have evil desires and wrong views. He comes to be infected with worldliness, obstinate, stubborn. Monks, that monk who lives without deference, disrespectful towards the teacher, three dots. Thus, there comes to be no future effects of that evil source of disputes. These, I'm glad they put the solution in three dots. No, I think it's a repeat of the previous paragraph. These six sources of dispute are the legal source of a legal, are the source of a legal question arising from disputes. Which three unskilled sources are the source of a legal question arising from disputes? In this case, monks, dispute covetous in mind. They dispute corrupt in mind. They dispute erring in mind, saying, quote in quotes, it is Dhamma, end quote in quotes, or quote in quotes, it is not Dhamma, end quote in quotes, or three dots. You don't have to repeat all of it. Quote in quotes, it is not a bad offense, end quote in quotes. Okay. These three unskilled sources are the source of a legal question arising from disputes. Which three skilled sources are the source of a legal question arising from disputes? In this case, monks dispute not covetous in mind. They dispute not corrupt in mind. They dispute not erring in mind, saying, quote in quotes, it is Dhamma, end quote in quotes, or quote in quotes, it is not Dhamma, end quote in quotes, three dots, or quote in quotes, it is a bad offense, end quote in quotes. These three skilled sources are the source of a legal question arising from disputes. I'm kind of glad he covered that. I think he's implying that the exact same situation can happen with or without bad intention or a bad faith argument. If somebody legitimately has an issue that they're raising for the sake of raising the issue and having that issue dealt with, and they've got a clean motivation, you know. But if somebody comes in because they just have an axe to grind or because they want to make trouble, and so they're thinking up, making up, crafting a legal question. I mean, the thing is, a broken clock is right twice a day, right? So that person, as I mentioned, could still hit on something that maybe is worth looking into, but it's less likely. Okay, continuing. What is the source of a legal question arising from censure? Six sources of censure are the source of a legal question arising from censure. There are three unskilled sources, which are the source of a legal question arising from censure, as well as three skilled sources, which are the source of a legal question arising from censure. Body, too, is a source of legal question arising from censure. Speech, too, is a source of legal question arising from censure. Which are the six sources of censure that are the source of a legal question arising from censure? In this case, monks, a monk becomes angry and bears ill will. Three dots, parentheses, the Polytech Society says, it's like the same as before, but instead of dispute, read censure. Fair enough, Polytech Society, and thank you. I don't have to read all that stuff again with just one word being different. Okay, three dots. These six sources of censure are the source of a legal question arising from censure, although the repetition might have helped to drill the idea in our brain, especially if it was an oral tradition and this was the rules of our society, and we were a group of monks that, yeah, we should repeat it and not replace it with three dots, right? But okay, continuing. Which three unskilled sources are the source of a legal question arising from censure? In this case, monks, covetousness in mind censure a monk. Corrupt in mind, they censure him. Erring in mind, they censure him with falling away from moral habit, or with falling away from good habits, or from falling away from right view, or with falling away from a right mode of livelihood. These three unskilled sources are the sources... Three unskilled sources, Miss Horner, sorry, are the sources of a legal question arising from censure. Which three skilled sources are the source of a legal question arising from censure? In this case, monks, not covetous in mind, censure a monk. Not corrupt in mind, three dots. Not erring in mind, they censure him. With falling away from moral habit, three dots. With falling away from right mode of living. These three skilled sources are the source of a legal question arising from censure. Which kind of a body is a source of legal question arising from censure? In this case, someone comes to be of a bad color. Ugly. Deformed. very ill or blind in one eye, or paralyzed down one side, or lame, or a cripple. On account of which they censure him. This kind of body is a source of a legal question arising from censure. This is where Lord Buddha and I kind of part ways, where I'm like, hey, Lord Buddha, why you gotta be such a beep? Gotta censor myself a little. About, you know, people with disabilities being monks in your order. Stop it. Thought you were supposed to be enlightened. In 2026, our definition of enlightenment includes not behaving the way you behave all the time, Lord Buddha, please. Ugh. Okay, anyway, what is the source of a legal question arising from offenses? Six origins of offenses are the source of a legal question arising from offenses. There is the offense which originates from the body, not from speech, not from mind. There is the offense which originates from speech, not from body, not from mind. There is the offense which originates from body and from speech, not from mind. There is the offense which originates from body and from mind, not from speech. There is the offense which originates from speech and mind, not from body. There is the offense which originates from body and from speech and from mind. What about the one that arises from mind but not from body or speech? No one knows about it because it's just in the mind. Well done leaving that one off. Okay. These six origins of offenses are the source of a legal question arising from offenses. Unless I read it and I just didn't realize that I read it. I don't think I did, though. I was listening for that one. What is the source of a legal question arising from obligations? The order is the sole source of a legal question arising from obligations. Well, there you go. That one was simple. A legal question arising from disputes. Is it skilled, unskilled, indeterminate? A legal question arising from disputes may be skilled, it may be unskilled, it may be indeterminate. What here is a legal question arising from disputes that is skilled? In this case, monks whose thoughts are skilled dispute, saying this is Dhamma, this is not Dhamma, or etc., this is a bad offense. Whatever therein is strife, quarrel, contention, dispute, difference of opinion, other opinion, because the common appellation of heatedness is quarrel, this is called a legal question arising from dispute that is skilled. What here is a legal question arising from disputes that is unskilled? In this case, monks whose thoughts are unskilled dispute, saying this is Dhamma, this is not Dhamma, this is a bad offense, etc. Because common appellation of heatedness is quarrel, this is called a legal question arising from disputes that is unskilled. You know, dumb people arguing as opposed to intelligent people arguing. Okay. What here is a legal question arising from disputes that is indeterminate? In this case, monks whose thoughts are indeterminate dispute, saying they're kind of, I don't know whether they're smart or not. Okay. It is Dhamma, it is not Dhamma, it is a bad offense. Called a legal question arising from disputes that is indeterminate. A legal question arising from censure. Is it skilled, unskilled, indeterminate? A legal question arising from censure may be skilled, it may be unskilled, it may be indeterminate. What here is a legal question arising from censure? I think Lord Buddha might be going on and on like this so that people will just stop asking him questions, because you know that if you ask him a question, he's going to go on and on like this for like 20 hours. No. In this case, monks whose thoughts are skilled censure a monk with falling away from moral habits. It is thorough. Or with falling away from good habits, or with falling away from right views, or with falling away from a right mode of livelihood. Whatever herein is censure, blaming, talking to, scolding, bickering, inciting, instigating, this is called a legal question arising from censure that is skilled. What here is a legal question arising from censure that is unskilled? In this case, monks whose thoughts are unskilled censure a monk. Three dots. What is here a legal question arising from censure that is indeterminate? In this case, monks whose thoughts are indeterminate censure a monk with falling away from, three dots, a right mode of livelihood. Whatever herein is censure, blaming, three dots, instigating. This is called a legal question arising from censure that is indeterminate. A legal question arising from offenses. Is it skilled, unskilled, indeterminate? A legal question arising from offenses may be unskilled, it may be indeterminate. There is no legal question arising from offenses that is skilled. Okay? What is here a legal question arising from offenses that is unskilled? A transgression committed knowingly, consciously, deliberately is one that is called a legal question arising from offenses that is unskilled. Okay? What is here a legal question arising from offenses that is indeterminate? A transgression committed not knowingly, not consciously, not deliberately is one that is called a legal question arising from offenses that is indeterminate. But there's not one arising from, okay, because if you're skilled, then you won't do any of these wrong things. All right. Okay. A legal question arising from obligations. Is it skilled, unskilled, or indeterminate? Well, it can only come from the order, right? A legal question arising from obligations may be skilled, it may be unskilled, it may be indeterminate. What is here a legal question arising from obligation that is skilled? Whatever formal act that an order, good in mind, carries out. A formal act for which leave ought to be asked. A formal act at which a motion is put. A formal act at which a motion is put and followed by one resolution. A formal act at which a motion is put and followed by a resolution made three times. This is called a legal question arising from obligations that is skilled. What is here a legal question arising from obligations that is unskilled? Whatever formal act that an order bad in mind carries out. The whole order is bad in mind. Three dots. What is here a legal question arising from obligations that is indeterminate? Whatever formal act that an order indeterminate in mind carries out. This is called a legal question arising from obligations that is indeterminate. Can there be a dispute and a legal question arising from disputes? A dispute but no legal question? A legal question but no dispute? A legal question as well as a dispute? There may be a dispute and a legal question arising from disputes. There may be a dispute but no legal question. There may be a legal question but no dispute. There may be a legal question as well as a dispute. What is here a dispute and a legal question arising from disputes? In this case, monks dispute, saying this is Dhamma or etc. This is not a bad offense. Whatever herein is strife, quarrel, contention, dispute, difference of opinion, other opinion, because the common appellation of heatedness is quarrel, that is called a dispute and a legal question arising from disputes. What is here a dispute but not a legal question? Mother disputes with son, and son disputes with mother. Father disputes with son, and son disputes with father. And brother disputes with brother, and brother disputes with sister, and sister disputes with brother, and friend disputes with friend. This is a dispute, but not a legal question. What about sister disputes with sister? Mother disputes with daughter? You left it out. I think you know you left it out, and I think you know why, and you need to check yourself, Lord Buddha, before you wreck yourself. I said it. I meant it. Sorry. I'm sorry. I'll keep reading. Okay. What is here a legal question but not a dispute? A legal question arising from censure. A legal question arising from offenses. A legal question arising from obligations. This is a legal question but not a dispute. What is here a legal question as well as a dispute? A legal question arising from disputes is a legal question as well as a dispute. Can there be is in parentheses, if you were curious, but can there be censure and a legal question arising from censure? Censure but no legal question. A legal question but no censure. A legal question as well as censure. There may be censure and a legal question arising from censure. There may be censure but no legal question. There may be a legal question but no censure. There may be a legal question as well as censure. Now, I've been thinking that this surely is going to move on to something else, but it's not. I mean, it's going to go on like this for a while, so rather than make this episode like longer than an hour, hoping that the end of this whole legal question, censure, but is it not a legal, blah, 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 it's going to be a two-parter. I mean, in other words, next time, rather than starting with a new section like we did today, sort of We're going to be continuing with that. So hold that thought for just a few days. And then actually next time, let's bring up the clock. So today was a 4 episode. It was Buddhist Books 334. Next time will be Buddhist Books 335, which means next time is going to be Shingon. And I recently picked up the Mahavairocana Tantra or Sutra. I don't know. I can't see the title is being blocked a little bit. And so I'm pretty sure that we're going to be reading a little bit of that at the beginning of the Shingon episodes now. Okay, that's what we're going to do. I was thinking that we would read that instead, but no. We'll read that for like a few minutes at the beginning of each of the part fives. So that's what's up next. And then when we get to Buddhist Books 336, we will pick up where we left off for anybody aching to know what Lord Buddha is going to say next about legal disputes and whether they're unskilled or skilled and all of that good stuff, which is foundational, historical, interesting, maybe. That's subjective, maybe not interesting. If you made it this far, then either you really enjoy my voice or, the background music, or you found this on some level interesting, maybe even enjoyable. If so, you're a weirdo like me, because obviously I find it interesting and enjoyable on a certain level. And I look forward to next time. And I hope that you have a wonderful day. And hopefully there won't be too many days between this episode and the next episode as there was between this episode and the previous episode. Okay, is there anything else? I think not. I think I'll go ahead and close now. And, all right. We'll do our usual closing. To the north and to the south, to the east and to the west, to the spirits of light among us and to the spirits below, we send out our reverent love and compassion. May all beings be happy. May all beings be serene. May all beings be in peace. Until next time.